suddenly, and it was suddenly, the whole world looked very different for him, didn't it? Suddenly, the fuzzy, colourless, I've got to put my glasses on so I can read my notes, colourless world becomes much clearer and much brighter. He can see things as they really are. In Luke 24, it's an amazing chapter of the Bible. And what we read are three different moments following the resurrection of Jesus. Each one involves people starting to see things differently, like they're putting those glasses on. They're starting to see in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to think about and just look at those three today, just very, very briefly, and add just one theme from each one. The first is from verses 1 to 12. We find the women going to the tomb, and they're going in the dark. It's early in the morning. But the most significant thing, I think, about that moment is that they were carrying spices. They were carrying spices. This is really important because it says something about their intention, about why they were going. They had no thought of resurrection in their minds. They were going expecting to find the dead body of Jesus Christ. They arrive and they get much more than they bargained for. I'll just read a little section. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" What a wonderful question. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. The women go in the darkness of hopelessness. They go in the darkness of hopelessness. It would have been physically dark, but you know what? It would have been spiritually dark, and I would say it would have been emotionally dark too. But they leave with the beginning of resurrection hope. It was being birthed and born in them. Now, I've got no doubt that they were leaving a little bit confused, or they wouldn't have fully grasped the implication of what had happened there that day. But you know, the angel couldn't have been clearer, could they? Couldn't have been clearer. He, Jesus, is risen from the dead. Hope was returning, and they needed to share what they had seen with the others. They had, in just a few moments, shifted and moved from hopelessness to hope. That was the lens that they were starting to see through, the lens of resurrection hope. And things no doubt started to seem a little clearer, a little brighter, a little lighter. Now, as I said, they wouldn't have had it all sussed out. They would have had as many questions as they would answers. But hope was being restored. Hope is such an important thing, isn't it? I think hope is vital, because life without hope can become very hard and very dark. We can find ourselves, when we feel hopeless, struggling to find meaning and purpose. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ breathed and breathes hope into a hurting and broken and sometimes seemingly hopeless world. Our Christian hope is an eternal one, isn't it? It's an eternal hope. The Bible's clear on this. Christ in the grave overcame the power and the influence of sin and death on our world. If I or anyone who is here, who has given their lives to Christ, were to die in this moment, they can be confident, because of what the Bible tells us, that their eternal hope is secure. They will go to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. This is good news, isn't it? This is great news. But the Bible's clear on something else too. That Christian resurrection hope is not simply about what happens when we die. Christian hope, resurrection hope, is here, it's near, and it's now. It's for this moment, and it's for whatever you are facing in this moment. Yes? There is hope that comes through what Christ has done on the cross and the resurrection. There is hope that comes to us through that. This hope is not just for the church. This hope is for the world. This hope is for the world. And we have to appreciate and understand our role in communicating and displaying that hope to the world. If we don't show them, how will they know? If we don't display it, how will they see? I read this quote. I read this guy often, and I quote him often. But N.T. Wright writes a lot on Christian hope. And this is what he says. When you see the dawn breaking, you think back to the darkness in a new way. Sin is not simply breaking of the law. It's the missing of an opportunity. That the original language of the Bible describes it as sin. It uses a phrase that's about missing the mark. And we live in that sinfulness. We take our minds and our eyes and our hearts away from God, and we miss the mark. We live in a way other than he would have us live, in the fullness of the life that is ours in Christ. He goes on, having heard the echoes of a voice, we are called to come to meet the speaker. We're invited to be transformed by the voice itself, the word of the gospel. And this is the bit I want to leave with you from this section. The word which declares that evil has been judged. Remember, a few weeks ago, we had this scene of Christ overcoming the forces of evil in the grave. Yeah? Christ has defeated the forces of evil, demonic forces and powers in our world. And that gives us hope. And then he says that the world has been put to right. He's starting to put things right. That's what happened on Resurrection Sunday. He burst free from the grave. And he said, right, it's a new chapter. It's a new era in the history of our world. The guy goes on, he says, that earth and heaven are joined forever. The temple curtain was torn in two. Okay? And it means that we can be invited, we can come into that nearer presence of God. We can know his presence with us. But you know what happened also? It meant the presence of God could come out. It's a two-way thing. You know? Heaven and earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to bring that reality into this. And it's possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, that the new creation has begun. What God originally intended when he created this world. What one day we will see in its fullness and its completeness. Hallelujah. Okay, right now, we're on this journey towards that. Bringing about that newness, that change, that recreation. What did Jesus say in Revelation? Behold, I am making all things new. This is our hope. This is resurrection hope. And when we start looking through the lens of this resurrection hope, everything changes. We start to see things differently. The second section of this chapter is an account, a telling of the story of these guys on a road going to a place called Emmaus. And they were gutted. They were absolutely gutted. They had witnessed the horrendous and awful things that had happened in Jerusalem surrounding the cross, what we thought about, and we kind of celebrated is the wrong word, but it is celebrated on Friday. You know, that the death of Christ on the cross. Sunday hadn't come for them at this point. Well, it had, but they hadn't realized. You know, and they're walking along, and we've got this lovely picture where Jesus comes alongside these guys in their grief and in their loss. And what does he do? He walks with them. He walks with them. What a lovely picture. A lovely picture. And then we get to this point, verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "You know, stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Love this bit. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. It's just like, whoa! They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" You know, they broke bread together. Basically, they had a meal together. They ate. And you've got to understand the significance and the importance of eating together in that context and culture. It was not something that people did lightly. It was a sign of friendship, of connection, of closeness, of intimacy. They realized and they recognized who Jesus was in the context of a meal. That closeness and that connection. And then suddenly, like the women before, the whole world starts to look a little different, doesn't it? They're seeing through that different lens. You know, in the book of Revelation, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ extends an invitation. It was initially to a church. I want to say that it's an invitation that is extended to each and every person here in this room. And this is what he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." And what will he do? "He will eat with them and they with me." What a beautiful, beautiful invitation. An invitation to come into that relationship with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, to be connected and close to him. How do we do that? How do we do it? By opening the door of our lives to him. By recognizing who he is and what he's done. By accepting him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And by inviting him by the power of his Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell within us. And as we do, it's like he eats with us. Yeah? There's a friendship. There's a connection. There's a closeness. And you know what? We start to see things differently. And then, or as well as, we start to do things differently. I mean, being dunked into a pool of water in front of 150 people? It's not normal, is it? Why would you do that? Seriously, why would you do it? This is why. And David and Lucy, I know this is why, because I've talked to them, but David and Lucy and countless others, many here in this room today, will do it because they've entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ and everything has changed. Everything is changing. Because when you go into this pool, and you know what, it's just water. Just water. I haven't blessed it or anything like that. We don't do that kind of thing. It's just water. And I will just dunk Lucy and David under that water. But it is a powerful and it is a spiritual symbol of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. And because they're in that relationship with him, they want to identify themselves with him, with his death as they go down, with his resurrection and the new life they have in him as they come up. That's why they'll stand in front of 150 people and get dunked in a pool of water. Because that matters more than what people think. Third section involves the wider group of disciples. Now, they, at this point, had heard accounts from the women and they'd heard from the guys on the road to Emmaus. But now it was time for them to see and to believe. Now it was time for them to see and to believe. Jesus wanted them to know that this resurrection was real, firstly. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here that I can eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. But for the disciples, it wasn't enough to simply see. It wasn't enough to simply see. He wanted them to really believe. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then it says this, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It was a supernatural revelation to their minds. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name, to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things." So much there we could talk about, but I just want to touch on one word. You know, it says there, verse 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And the word for mind here, you know, look back in the original language of the Bible. Sometimes the words don't naturally or easily translate into English. So the word mind here, it does mean mind, but actually there's a fuller meaning that we can take from this word. It means the seat of emotions and affections. It means the way we think and feel. It means attitudes and moral inclinations. Basically, it means all of who we are. Folks, this is about the whole of our lives being impacted by the resurrected Christ. Yeah? When we engage with resurrection hope that we've talked about today, when we fellowship, when we connect, build relationship with the resurrected Christ, a revolution starts to take place in us. And as we grow in our understanding and we mature in our sort of appreciation, experience of these things, and it is a process, I think that's really important to say, we don't go from there to there in an instant, it's a lifetime journey of embracing these things. But as we do, there is an impacting of every area of our lives. And do you know what? This pool is a display of that. This pool is a display of that. You see, to be united with Christ in baptism is more than a kind of a dramatic statement of belief. I'm glad to say that it is actually much harder than that. If it was as simple as just being splashed in the pool, but it's not. Because what happens in the physical reflects what's going on in the spiritual, in the supernatural, in the deeper parts of who we are. What David and Lucy are doing today is they're making a powerful declaration of how that their lives are now in Christ. As you go under the water, you're declaring your resolve to die to your old ways of living. And as you rise from the water, you are declaring your resolve to live out this new life in Christ. The implications are huge. And I'm not going to single out the two folks being baptized today. I'm going to talk to everyone who's gone through these waters of baptism. Because we're not playing around when we do this, are we? It's why it's such a high point in the life of the church. Your attitudes should change. Attitudes towards work and actions and, you know, in work and home and money and thoughts and relationships, what we allow into our mind, what we allow out of our mouths. This should be impacting the whole of our lives. So, three, what I think are lovely passages that take us deeper into the experience of the resurrection story, but actually help us to look through the lens of the resurrection. And things get a little bit brighter, don't they? They get a bit clearer. And I just want to pray. I want to pray that we would know that today. I want to pray for the guys as they get ready to be baptized, that they would know it, that this would be a significant moment for them of deepening their understanding and experience of this resurrection hope of the resurrected Christ deep within them.